Well, good afternoon, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. I'm going to finally wrap up a segment that I've been trying to wrap up for a few months, but between my duties as sheriff and other stories that I thought were important, we haven't been able to get back to it. And this is our discussion on school shootings, on mass shootings. In the past few examples that we've covered, we've talked about how culture has changed, and we've talked about some of the violent aspects that we keep feeding our children. But one of the things that's also happened over this time is the fact that I've had to talk to several people over the last several months on this topic, and I've attended many forums and will continue to attend forums, one of which was this last week. I attended a forum put on by a group of college students at Whitworth. And the topic that keeps being brought up is a topic that is kind of concerning. Rather than looking at what the problems are, we keep looking for simple solutions. And as I stated to that group of college students during the forum, the simple solutions are usually stupid solutions, because we really don't ever look at the root problem of these issues. We never ask the question why. Why is a very powerful concept. What comes out of why? But you have to ask the question why. Why are these things happening? What is the difference here? And if you take a look at it, one of the first questions I was asked at this forum is, what is the cause of gun violence? My answer was people. And, you know, the looks on the kid's face, it was kind of a little shocked. I said, look, I'm not trying to be facetious here. It's people. The root cause of any violence is people. It's how we treat each other. It's how we go about conducting our lives. We are the cause of violence. It's not some inanimate object, a gun, a knife, a club, a rock, because man has effectively been killing himself for millennia with all kinds of things. It's us. So if you really want to get to the root cause of violence, you have to look at us, who we are as a nation, what we have become. So when you take a look at that aspect, you heard me talk about the fact that we made gangster lifestyle, pop culture. We made it something to emulate, and kids did emulate it. And it led to an explosion of gang issues in the United States. Now, I know people are going to, you know, come at me and, how dare you make that statement? And you know, quite frankly, I've been called a racist for making that statement. And my comment back to them is, you tell me what color has the corner market on gang activity. No race has that corner market. All races are involved in that. But when you start popularizing that culture to your children, it should be no mistake that we now have children dying in the streets of America because of gang violence. Because we ignored the African American pastor when they said in the 90s, don't do this. We ignored them. just as, quite frankly, here locally, we ignored the youth of this community, the youth of the African-American community, the youth involved in gang activity when they came to their pastors and said, help us, we're dying. We need to find a solution. We don't want to see our friends, our family members die anymore. That happened about 4 years ago, folks. And yeah, we had marches and we had get-togethers in parks, and but we didn't do anything. You know, there's a pastor in town, Sean Davis, that did his best and continues to try to do his best. But we in government did not do anything to latch on to that and grow that and solve that issue. Can you imagine what we could have done if we would have put our full effort into that to find the solution? Then when those kids were reaching out to us, we could have broke the gang violence issue and the gang culture in this community for decades. There's one of your whys. Why do we have this problem? Inaction on government's part, inaction on our part. And when I say our, it's we the people. Because, quite frankly, most of us are fat, dumb, and happy. It's somebody else's problem. Well, if you keep that attitude, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a crisis. It is time to wake up, America. It is time for you to wake up and realize what's about ready to come down on us. You can't continue to feed your children this. We talked about violent video games. And Lord, did my Twitter feed blow up when I talked about video games. The video game industry went crazy. Those who played the games went crazy. They attacked my Twitter feed and I just kind of chuckled. It's like, this is the best you got? The truth of the matter is, folks, you cannot feed children violence like that. Grand Theft Auto is a game that you get points for destroying and killing and raping. And I'm sorry to break it to you game industry folks, that's what you portray. Anytime you can have sex with a prostitute, kick her out of a vehicle, then kill her, is rape. And that's what you can do in this game. It's disgustingly sick. But that game, Grand Theft Auto 5, when it came out, earned more money than the entire media market for that year. The entire media market. We got a problem. And now we have marches, we have people holding signs, and I'm telling you, this is not helping the situation because the rhetoric is not helpful. I have no problem with people wanting to speak their mind and hold signs. Go be blessed. First Amendment. Just be careful about what you hold in your signs because the other side is watching. And here's the message that you sent very clearly. Even though you kept going, well, it's not about banning guns. Yeah, it was. Because your sign said it was. Your sign said, we're coming after your guns. Your sign said something far worse. Something that sent a chill through every gun owner's heart. Your sign said you were willing to kill to take those guns. Now, Sheriff, wait a minute, time out. We did. No, you did. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. Those signs that said, we will pry them out of your cold, dead hands. That's what you said. There was actually a sheriff's candidate back in the Carolinas, can't remember if North or South anymore, that actually said that during one of his stump speeches. And then he had to walk it back. He literally said, well, they say, you can take my guns out of my cold, dead hands. He said, well, okay. What message was sent? What message was sent? Left and right, you need to listen very, very close. Your rhetoric is making it impossible to find logical, sensible solutions to almost any problem anymore. You have done this. Extreme progressives and extreme right, you have done this. You're the problem. And you are causing and you are going to cause major, major upheavals. Because people are listening. People are watching. And sadly, there are some of us that are caught straight in the middle of trying to keep both of you from destroying this country. One of the other interesting things that are coming out of this is claims from the left side of the coin that there's no constitutional protections and we need to get rid of the Second Amendment. It's outdated. We need to do all these things, all these nonsensical things. The AR needs to be banned. Okay, what does that mean? Is that just the AR-15, the gun that looks scary, I guess? Is it just the AR-15? Or is it the House bill in the U.S. Congress that bans every semi-automatic weapon in the United States? Pistol, rifle, shotgun, period. Which is it? Now you want to claim that Judge Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, said that the AR was not protected by the Constitution. I am so tired of half-truths and, quite frankly, falsehoods coming out of either the left or the right. I am so fed up with this. Get it straight. Scalia did not say that. Judge Young, out of Pennsylvania, you got it wrong. Scalia did not say that. Newsweek, you got it wrong. The judge did not say that. Because that's what Newsweek is reporting. Scalia didn't say it, that the AR-15 was protected. They say that the prefatory clause to which the justice refers, of course, is the one about a well-regulated militia. The AR-15 is used in San Bernardino is a M16 knockoff. No, not quite. M16 is a fully automatic weapon. Yeah, okay, they're designed similarly, but the keywords, fully automatic weapon versus semi-automatic weapon. It's not a knockoff. Totally different purposes. The left is trying to use the Heller decision. That was the majority opinion was authored by Judge Scalia as a example of how the AR is not protected. That's a very, very bad interpretation of the justice's words in that particular decision. Now, Sheriff, why would you say that? How do you know all that? Well, I've read the Heller decision. I actually did a paper on the Heller decision. I reread it after the forum this week because it was brought up there. And I do more research into these issues than maybe I have time to, but I find them interesting. But here's what both Justice Thomas and Justice Scalia had to say when they tried to convince the Supreme Court to hear a case that was coming out of Illinois. Case was Friedman versus High Park, which was a lawsuit involving an Illinois man challenging his city's ban on guns like the AR-15. Justice Thomas even wrote the opinion of dissent, and it was joined by Scalia arguing why the court should have heard the Highland case. And in one particular strong paragraph, Justice Thomas laid it out. And this is a quote. Roughly 5 million Americans own AR-style semi-automatic rifles. The overwhelming majority of the citizens who own and use such rifles do so for lawful purposes, including self-defense and target shooting. Thomas wrote also that, quote, under our precedents, that is all that is needed for the citizens to have a right under the Second Amendment to keep such weapons. Okay? Now you tell me that Judge Scalia, as the left is trying to paint him, was in favor of banning the AR-15. Stop it. You're putting words in a man's mouth that can no longer defend his words. And it's a shame that we have to go back and do that. Justice Scalia looked at the Miller decision, which is the only other Supreme Court case other than Heller and McDonald that even remotely can be seen as being on point on this issue. And that case held that a sawed-off shotgun really had no purpose in a militia setting that could be used in a military setting, because Miller said basically guns that are protected are ones that can be used in for military purposes, roughly. There are arguments that that not all weapons would qualify, because there are provisions that unusual weapons are not protected. It would be as the Constitution and the history behind the Constitution and the cases involving this issue would point out, that the Second Amendment protects those type of weapons that were prevalent during the day the Second Amendment was written. And please, left, do not go start screaming, oh, that means only the musket was protected. Our founding fathers were men of science. They knew that the science was going to evolve. If you really think that they would have said, you're stuck with the musket when your enemies are stuck with machine guns, you're out of your mind. That's an illogical argument. It's an argument of passion, which, thank goodness, Madison recognized, because he said, we need to protect the Constitution from such things as passion and unreasonable arguments. What we forget is the Constitution, and this is according to Madison and the Founding Fathers, the Constitution wasn't designed to give rights. It was designed to lay out the framework of our government. The first Constitution, the original Constitution, did not have a Bill of Rights in it. Why? Because according to the Federalist Papers and the Federalist arguments, they felt that a Bill of Rights was unnecessary and they felt that it was dangerous. Federalists actually felt that the Bill of Rights would undermine the idea of a government with limited powers. A Bill of Rights might betray the central principle of a written Constitution as a product of a social compact which affirms that all authority originally resides in the people, and that the people created a government of limited and enumerated powers in a written constitution. These are the words of our founders, folks. They also feared that we would start thinking that they intended to create a government with unlimited powers rather than a government with limited powers, which was actually their intent, a government with limited powers. You know, you can see this fear in James Wilson's argument defending the Constitution in the state of Pennsylvania during their debate on the Constitution. And he said, constitutional power is to be collected not from tacit implications, but from the positive grant expressed in the instrument of the Union. Hence, everything which is not given is reserved. Reserved to who? The people. He went on to say, therefore, in reference to the Bill of Rights, quote, this would have supposed that we were throwing into the general government every power not expressly reserved to the people, which they didn't. The Federalists also argued a Bill of Rights may confuse the people as to the nature of their rights. They argued, quote, in the Declaration of Independence, our founders had declared that all human beings are endowed with natural and inalienable rights by the virtue of their participation in the same fundamental human nature. What need was there to set forth these principles again, particularly in a document whose purpose was not to describe the natural state of man, but to establish the institutional framework of our government, end quote. That's the other part of all this that people forget. The American people owned firearms before the inception of the country. They gained that right through the English Bill of Rights in 1689. We've always had that right, folks. And they owned weapons that were far superior to the British musket, standard issue musket, during the Revolutionary War. It was called the Kentucky Long Rifle. Could outshoot, distance-wise, the standard British musket. That would have been, back then, would have been called what some people want to term assault weapons. Because it was advanced, it was further ahead than the military, the greatest military on earth at that point. Madison would eventually change his mind concerning the Bill of Rights and went to the mindset that a Bill of Rights, in quote, might support public understanding and knowledge of individual liberty that would assist the citizens in the task of defending their liberties. So he changes his mindset going, you know, maybe if we put the Bill of Rights in, it will actually teach people about their individual liberties and give them the ability to defend those liberties. He went on to state that a Bill of Rights could serve a noble purpose of public education and edification. And he's talking to Thomas Jefferson when he says this, and another quote. The political truth declared in that solemn manner acquire by degrees the character of fundamental maxims of free government. And as they become incorporated with the national sentiment, counteract the impulses of interest and passion. Counteract the impulses of interest and passion. So Madison, very insightful individual. he saw what was potentially coming down the road. And people want to talk about why. Folks, yes, the second mentions the militia, and it also mentions the right of the people shall not be infringed. Okay? Why? Well, one, as our founding fathers looked at this, your right to own a gun was undeniable. You had that. They didn't even really think they needed to enumerate that right. But there was this big fear, from the states especially, that the federal government could become an overarching nemesis and destroy their sovereignty, the state's sovereignty. So they wanted to have a militia to protect against any standing army the national government could form. That is just the way it was. So we have that discussion coming. Noah Webster, during this time, is one of the founding figures of our nation. In his essay, An Examination of Leading Principles of the Federal Constitution, said, "The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any brand of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such that people perceive to be just and constitutional. For they will possess the power, and jealously will they instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to be unjust and oppressive." Pretty much sums it up. Your ability to maintain and own firearms in the United States is to protect yourself, protect this nation from all threats, foreign and domestic, to include a government that does no longer represent the people. Those are the and folks, I can hear it now. People all from the left are going, "Oh my goodness, he's gone crazy. He's talking Constitution." No, I'm talking the history of our nation. And perhaps we need to start looking at the history of our nation to make proper decisions. Next week, I'm going to talk about what those proper decisions should be. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezowicz with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.